Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 21. Swarnam Yata Gravasu Hemakaraha Swarnam Yata Gravasu Hemakara Swarnam Yata Gravasu Hemakara Kshetreshu Yogais Tadabhijna Apnuyat Kshetreshu Yogais Tadabhijna Apnuyat Kshetreshu Yogais Tadabhijna Apnuyat Kshetreshu Deheshu Tatma Yogayam Kshetreshu Deheshu Tatma Yogayam Kshetreshu Deheshu Tatma Yogayam Adhyatma Vid Brahmagatim Lapeta Adhyatma vid brahmagatim lapeta Adhyatma vid brahmagatim lapeta Swarnam yata gravasu hemakara Kshetreshu yogais tadabhijna apnuyat Kshetreshu Deheshu Tatma Yoga Adhyatma Vid Brahmagatim Labheta Swarnam Yata Gravasu Hemakara Kshetreshu Yogais Tadabhijna Apnuyat Kshetreshu Deheshu Tatma Yoga Adhyatma Vid Brahmagatim Labheta Swarnam Yata Gravasu Hemakara Kshetreshu Yogais Tadabhijna Apnuyat Kshetreshu Deheshu Tatma Yoga Adhyatma Vid Brahmagatim Labheta Swarnam Yata Gravasu Hemakara Kshetreshu Yogais Tadabhijna Apnuyat Kshetreshu Deheshu Tatma Yoga Abhyatma Vid Brahmagatim Vaishnavis. Swarnam Yata Gravasu Hemakara Kshetreshu yogais tadabhijna apnuyat Kshetreshu deheshu tatma yoga Adhyatma vid brahmagatim labheta Swarnam yata gravasu hemakara Kshetreshu yogais tadabhijna apnuyat Kshetreshu deheshu tatma yoga Adhyatma vid brahmagatim labheta Swarnam, gold, yata, just as
gravasu
in the stones of gold ore, in the stones of gold ore. Hemakaraha, the expert who knows about gold. Kshetreshu, in the gold mines. Yogai, by various processes. Tadabhijnaha, an expert who can understand where gold is. Abnuyat, very easily obtains. Kshetreshu, within the material fields. Deheshu, the human bodies and all the rest of the 8,400,000 different bodily forms. Tata, similarly, Atma Yoga Hi, by spiritual processes. Adhyatmavit, one who is expert in understanding the distinction between spirit and matter. Pramagatim, perfection in spiritual life. Lapeta, may obtain. Translation, an expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. And thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Would you like to repeat?
Yes.
An expert geologist can understand where there is gold.
An expert geologist can understand where there is gold.
And by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. And thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Can anybody repeat the whole thing? Want to try? Go ahead, Kamalini. It's a comparison, so who's it compared to?
As a geologist can understand where there is gold in a gold ore and can expertly extract it, similarly a spiritually advanced person can also find, can also understand that there is a spiritual spark within the body. And on the other side, somebody who's not expert in finding the gold cannot do so. Similarly, a foolish person cannot
Well done, everybody. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Here is a very good example concerning spiritual understanding. Foolish rascals, including so-called jnanis, philosophers, and scientists, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body because they are lacking in spiritual knowledge. The Vedas enjoin, tadvijnanartham sa gurum eva bhigacchet. To understand spiritual knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Unless one has been trained in geology, one cannot detect gold in stone. Similarly, unless one has been trained by a spiritual master, he cannot understand what is spirit and what is matter. Here it is said, yogaistad abhijñaha. This indicates that one who has connected himself with spiritual knowledge can understand that there is a spirit soul within the body. However, one who is in an animalistic conception of life and has no spiritual culture cannot understand. As an expert mineralogist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system or, finally, in the bhakti yoga system. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, bhaktyamam abhijanati. Unless one takes shelter of the bhakti yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins by teaching, dehinosmin yata dehe komaran yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir hirastatra namuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. That's from Bhagavad Gita 2:13. This is the first instruction. Thus, the first instruction is that one should understand that the soul is within the body and is transmigrating from one body to another. This is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Any person who is not expert in understanding this science or is unwilling to understand it remains in the bodily conception of life or the animalistic conception of life as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyatma bhuti kunapetra datuke sa eva kokara. Every member of human society should clearly understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, for only in this way can one be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false illusory knowledge by which one thinks, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. Aham mameti. This doggish conception should be rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and the supreme spirit God, who are eternally related. Thus, one may return home back to Godhead, having solved all the problems of life. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold, and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within this body. So everyone has to cultivate something in this life because, as Krishna says, nahi kashit shinamapi jatu tishchetya karma krit, karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jarugunai. We can't stop working. We're forced to work by the three modes of material nature. So even for a moment, we can't cease our mental or even physical activities. And according to how one's situated in this world, one cultivates activities which are foolish or which are very active or which bring virtue and light and knowledge and so forth. So three modes of material nature are controlling factors in this world. And one works under these influences in various ways to culture something for oneself, for others. But very few people come to the knowledge by which they can culture something that will take them out of the three modes altogether and back home, back to Godhead. And that is the culture of devotional service. Mamchayo vyabhichadena bhakti yogena sevate Sagunan samatityai tan pramapuyaya kalpate. By culturing devotional service on an ongoing basis throughout one's life, without stopping, one rises above the three modes of material nature and comes to the spiritual platform. And this culture, or culture of any knowledge, requires some instructor. One has to approach an expert, and there has to be a tradition behind the expert, and there has to be a clear direction. So if one wants to learn medicine, one can't do it at home. In fact, if you go to a doctor's office and ask, you know, where'd you go to school, and say, I just learned it at home, get on the table, you'll flee from that place. You want to see the diploma, and you want to know that they've gone through the culture of knowledge, and they studied properly in the right channels. That's why there's certification in this world for anything that's important. So spiritual life is the same. Tad vignan artam sa gurum eva bigachet samitpani shotriyam brahmanishtam. A person who is interested in culturing spiritual knowledge and bringing out the essence of life, the perfection and achieving the perfection of life, the Shastra says, must approach a spiritual master. So this is an edict. One must approach a spiritual master. However, that also has to come from the heart of the person. It's not that everyone will just take that edict. If you say you must approach a spiritual master, then everyone say, yes, then I'll go to a spiritual master. But from within the heart of any living entity who becomes fortunate, arises this sense of urgency. I must approach a spiritual master. And then one receives instruction. Brahmanda brahmate kon bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi pai bhakti lata bij. In wandering throughout the universe, the living entity is hapless. Does anybody have a dictionary? Look up hapless. The living entity wandering in the universe is hapless. And he becomes bhagyavan, or fortunate, when he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. But that's precipitated by, first, unknown good fortune that's injected into the heart of a wandering living entity. Unknowingly, he receives agyata sukriti, or some good fortune given to him by a great soul. And then he develops a desire to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't know who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. He just knows that there's something more than this world. What is hapless? You're in the technician's booth. You got to look up stuff. You have to use the microphone. Lacking good fortune. That's what hapless means. That's the problem with the world. People are lacking good fortune. So the hapless living entities wandering with no good fortune in the material world. And then if by good fortune comes in contact with a devotee, then he receives this agyata sukriti. Sukriti means some spiritual capital within the heart. And then the desire arises within his heart that I must have some direction. So this is a natural inclination of a living entity. That's why this verse, tad vignanartam sa gurum eva bigachet, which is emphatic that you must have a spiritual master, but that has to come from you. You have to say, I must have a spiritual master. Krishna will fulfill your desire. So what does that have to do with mining in this verse? The example is being given by Prahlad Maharaj, that a person who's expert in mining, who learns what it looks like in a geographical area where there's gold, knows where to dig, and he sees a certain kind of rock and knows within that rock there's the gold. So similarly, one who gets the impetus to find Krishna, to know God, then develops by Krishna's arrangement, the vision to see where to find that instruction. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami puti yogam tam yenamam upayantite. For one who is sincerely trying to reach me, I give the intelligence by which he can come to me. So, in the beginning, especially, or in the middle or the end, the substance we need to mine for is sincerity. The sincerity must be mined from the heart. So when we endeavor for spiritual life, the main qualification is this desire, the desire to find it. This is a kind of sincerity that grows within the heart. And we must be expert at finding that. And as teachers of Krishna consciousness, that is the main thing we're looking for in any living entity. We have to be able to see it. Just as an expert geologist looks at the lay of the land, has studied very carefully how to find gold or other kinds of precious metals, and knows where to look. So similarly, the teacher of Krishna consciousness is always looking for that tiny impetus within each living entity for Krishna consciousness, and then wants to pour in as much mercy as possible. Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu dusatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakroti samadhyamaha. The madhyama adhikari, or the outreach expert, can't call him preacher anymore, so I don't know what to say. Outreach expert, what is he called? It's a little wordy. Is one who expertly sees different entities. So he or she sees that there's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara, and also sees that there are devotees, and then also sees that among the population of the world there are innocent people. And then there are those who are envious. And he or she is able to distinguish the difference between these different entities. So for Krishna, the devotee gives all attention and love. For the innocent, the devotee pours in as much mercy as possible. And for the devotees, he makes friendship. And for the envious, he avoids. He doesn't dig there. He doesn't try to do any cultivating or extraction. So this is the first thing to look for, and must be cultivated constantly in spiritual life. Where is my sincerity? In fact, sitting down to chant japa, as an expert geologist can look in the earth, one should look within one's heart and say, where was that sincerity again? Can I find it? And that is the most valuable substance, more valuable than gold, more valuable than any other product you can buy in this world. If you go to Chandichok, anybody been to Chandichok lately? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 20 people. 20 devotees have been to Chandichok. Chandichok, you can go to Gulab Singh, who's got a little shop in Chandichok where he sells essential oils. And you can buy some oils there that cost $5,000 for a tiny little vial like this. And more. He brings them from all over the world, the most exotic kinds of oils. And big purchasers come there and they'll buy a little vial and they can use it for many, many gallons of perfume and other kinds of things. But at Gulab Singh, if you go in and you say, you give me one little tiny vial of sincerity, I just want a tola, he can't sell it to you. And nor would anyone on earth be able to afford that. That is Bhagyavan. If someone has some sincerity, that is the most valuable substance that one can have. One tiny little drop, a molecule of this substance, sincerity within the heart, is the most valuable substance in the world, more valuable than all the gold and all the other valuable gems. So one tiny molecule of sincerity. So in spiritual life, we move by this sincerity. Krishna recognizes it's the only thing he recognizes as currency for advancing in spiritual life. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstatayava bhajamyaham. He says that as a person has sincerity in their heart for their practice of devotional service, I reward them accordingly. So find out where it is. Find out what it is and search for it within your heart. Find that one drop of sincerity that's been given to you as the best of all gifts by some magnanimous person at some point in wandering in the universe, and then cultivate it. It means extract it, bring it out, look at it, see how that it can be increased. That's the first and most important aspect of advancing in spiritual life at any stage and in any time. And Prabhupada mentions then in the purport that a miner who's looking for gold then becomes very confident about where to invest. So they go around and they look at land formations. My sister was a geologist. Sometimes she got hired by oil companies. Mostly she did field work and stuff, but she told me early on she could be hired by these oil companies because geologists know they can go around, they can look at maps, and then they can go to the area and look up and down and they'll say, invest here. There's oil way down there. Otherwise, it costs millions, billions of dollars to drill down to find this stuff. And if you miss the place, it's very, very difficult to find. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, that only those who are trained in spiritual life know where to dig. They know where how to find the essence of life. Amazing verses here. Anyone know the 15th chapter? This is the yoga of the Supreme Person. And then Krishna says, the foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Means Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha. A person who's Jnana Chakshusha, who's trained themselves, been trained by a spiritual master, they can see what's taking place when one leaves the body. And this is the greatest mystery in the world for everybody else. They have no idea what's happening. They become bewildered by this, Krishna says. They're completely bewildered. What happens? Somebody leaves their body. But a devotee can see exactly what's going on, how the spirit soul has lived in the body, and when he's leaving the body, what's happening, how the subtle material body is leaving along with the soul, going to another situation, and so forth. So the endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try. So, the Prabhupada says in the purport to today's verse that the geologist can, with his trained eyes, find out where to invest. So this is a very important word, invest, because we have to invest somewhere. And when we have real knowledge, then we will wholeheartedly invest in digging for that ultimate thing. And when we don't, then we may dig so many places. It's like if you're not sure the oil's there, you may make a half-hearted effort. You may not invest at all. You won't invest at all in digging if you're not very, very sure there's something in there. You don't want to waste all your time and money. So similarly, unless one is very sure about one's real interest in life, one doesn't put one's full energy into it. And therefore, the Shastra says, Shraddha Shabde Bishwas Kohe Suridhanish Choy Krishna Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. And that is, a person who has faith, firm faith, that the goal of life is attained just by doing devotional service, puts his or her whole heart into the process. And that's what it means to have faith. It means to have shraddha. And shradh means the heart in Sanskrit, and dha is an active verb. It means where you place something. So what are you putting your heart into? You put your heart into where you think you're going to get the best investment. Guaranteed. Every time. Right? Anybody here working today? You going to go to work? And if you go in today and your boss tells you you can keep coming in, but I'm not going to pay you, you keep going in, you'll be in there on Friday?
No.
She quit.
Yeah, I'm all Friday.
So at every moment, living entities want to know what's their best interest. That means the impetus of life. That's what the impetus of life is. Every living entity wants to know. They're moving because they want to know what's in it for me. Where's my best interest? And the science of Krishna consciousness teaches that your real interest is investing in devotional service. If you invest in this, you'll get everything and way more. One of Krishna's names is Vancha Atita. Atita means to transcend, and Vancha means desire. So I have desires. I want to invest somewhere. We're all little investors. That's what we are. We're going around saying, I want to invest. I got a little capital. Where should I put it now? And everyone's saying, over here, little Jiva, come here. I got something for you. Everyone's got a little something. You know, you go to the university and they teach you, you know, put all diagrams on the board and stuff like that, make you read these big, thick books that cost $1 million each and say, little Jiva, this is where it's at. You invest in this and you got yourself something. And little Jiva, you know, puts on a little shirt and pants and goes in there and I'm an investor. This is what I invest in. Everyone's got their little investment scheme going on in the material world. They want to get a chip in the big game in the material world somewhere. Little Jiva, in fact, comes to the material world. It's called the Forest of Material Enjoyment. As a merchant, he comes in here. He wants to find something he can trade. He wants to trade up. He wants to, you know, get something. That's what everyone wants. And everywhere you look, people are advertising, come here, little Jiva, you can get it over here. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Dharma Projita Kaitavo Traparamo Nirmasaranam Satam Vejam Vastavam Atra. It says, there is nothing to invest in the material world. Shocking news. Because everyone's saying, there must be something here. Everyone's wandering around. It's like, there must be something here. Everyone's drilling everywhere. They must be getting something. And the Bhagavatam comes along and says, nothing to see here. Nothing to have here. Nam vina kichu nahiko oro. Choda bhuvana majade. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur comes out and says, nothing to be had in the 14 worlds. Doesn't matter you go up or you go down and drill. You're not going to get anything valuable here in the material world. He says, one valuable thing only. And this focuses the mind. Fewer choices focuses the mind. When you don't have any choice, you just say, that's what I'll do. So he says, here it is. The one thing you can get that's valuable to you, little Jiva, it's the holy name. Shraddha shabde vishwas kohri surida nishchoy krishne bhakti koi la sarva karma krita hoy. The Shastra says, when you feel there is nothing else to invest in this material world except for the holy name, and that's where I'm going to dig. And then you can sit down, because Arjuna wants to know, what is a sthita prajna? In the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, he says, what is the person fixed in consciousness? What does he speak about? Where does he sit? How does he act? And Krishna says, prajahati yada kaman sarvan parta manogatan. Atman yebat manatushta sthita prajnasta dochite. He says, he's the one who gave up looking everywhere in the material world for an investment scheme. Prajahati, he gave it up. Prajahati yada kaman. All these material desires, like dig over here, dig over here, dig up there, dig down there. And where does it come from? Manogatan. It's a big concoction. The mind is concocting all these ideas of where you can dig, where you can invest and actually get something. But the person who's sthita prajna is one who's like, There's nothing to buy here. There's nothing to even see here in the material world. It's not even interesting to me at all. And therefore, what does he speak about? His real investment. Just like other investors, they're always coming around talking about what you're going to get. You come with me, I'll tell you what you're going to get. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. What's it going to take for us to get you into an Impala today? Bobby, sit down here. What's it going to take for us to get you into this car today, Bobby? I'll go talk to my manager. We'll come back. We'll get you into this blue Impala. You've always wanted a blue Impala, Bobby. We're going to get you the Impala. It's a big hoax. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, it's a colossal hoax. Somebody comes along and says, it's a hoax. It's a colossal hoax. Don't buy anything. You're being ripped off. As the sadhus come to the material world, I was going, don't listen to them. They don't know. We're still digging over here. We're going to get something. And Prahlad Maharaj comes along and says later, Kutra Shisha Shuti Sukham Riga Trishni Rupa. He says, where is that thing they're telling you you're going to invest in and you're going to get some return on your investment? Did anybody ever get anything? Kutra, he says, where is it? Kutra Shisha, some benediction everyone wants. Shuti Sukham, everyone hears about it. Mriga Trishni Rupa, but it's a complete illusion, he says. It's just like running after water in the desert. It looks like it's there. You're not going to get it. So this is the first thing, the first step in spiritual life. The only way to get real traction in spiritual life, one must be convinced, I'm not my body. There is nothing I can invest in this material world that's going to get any return that's valuable to me at all. In fact, in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing the person who is advancing in yoga. He says, pebbles, stone, gold, it's all the same to him. Mediators, friends, enemies, he doesn't care anymore. He doesn't care. It's all the same thing in different combinations and permutations, and he's heard it before. He doesn't want to hear it anymore. He's heard something different. He heard a mantra that sounded so different, that is so compelling, that now that's where he's going to dig. That's where he's going to dig. And he's seen people who've even got a drop of it, and their lives are transformed. Look at the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They had everything. They had high society, they had power, they had money, and it's really hard to give those up. Even if you're a temple commander and someone says, look at, you know, we're thinking about, you know, moving you along here. No, no. It's difficult in this world to give up these things, but Tekvaturna Mashesha Mandalapati Shrinim Sada Tuchavat. Everyone say Tuchavat. You gotta say it with a little disgust. Tuchavat. This Tuchavat means it's like, it's insignificant. So they have all these things. They had wealth, power, fame, money, and then Tuchavat. They just like, it's nothing to me. And they ran after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where is he? I'll go across country. I'll escape from jail. I'll do whatever I have to have. I'm making this investment in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm going to do whatever he says. I'm going to follow him. One has to have this kind of impetus for spiritual life. That's how to make advancement. You have to have desire. And that desire is built on knowledge. It's based on knowledge. I'm not my body. There's no investment here. There's nothing I can get out of this. And when one's convinced about that, you don't even look at the objects of the senses. Because Krishna says in the Gita, Jayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangastesha Pujayate. Jayato means you meditate on various things that you see in this material world. And the reason you meditate on them, actually he says contemplate, the reason you contemplate, because the mind still thinks and is still telling this story, you're going to get something out of that. That's why I hang on to it. I look at it and I think, okay, that's for me. And then I make a sangha with it. I become attached to that object, and now I have to deal with it the rest of my life. It becomes a huge burden to the very subtle spirit soul who's meant to enjoy a kind of aesthetic pleasure that is way beyond anything in this material world, that's all inferior matter. It's low didge. It's no didge. pleasure in the material world. Low and no ditch. That's all you get. You like low ditch? How would you like a hotel? Low. Which kind of hotel you want? Low ditch and no ditch. So this investigation should go on by reading the Shastra and becoming Shastra Chakshus. Paschati Jnana Chakshusha. Develop these eyes of knowledge. There's nothing to invest in this material world. And then the devotee becomes convinced and now digs in the right place. And this becomes the full-time occupation for a devotee to drill down as deeply as possible into the process of devotional service to become connected with it. So, yeah, so I'll stop there and I'll take some questions or reflections. Yes. Yeah, no offense to any temple commanders. I'm just saying, my only point there was that when one gets some position or power in this material world, then one, it's easy to become attached to any situation. So in the Gaudiya Mutt, for instance, you read recently the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Bhai Bhav. In one of the mutts, there was a devotee who came and he was doing so much service and raising funds, bringing up the standards. And then some of the mutt bossies, they thought, He's doing all this, but he's just really attached to the result and the name and fame that he's getting here in the mutt. So they went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and they said, you know, we think that this devotee is just attached. I know he's doing good service, but he's attached to his position. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called him in and said, okay, I'm going to move you. He said, how's your service going? He said, it's going great. He said, I'm taking your service away, I'm moving you to another temple. And he said, okay, Guru Maharaj, I'll go. He didn't complain or anything. He said, I'll go. And they said, okay, you can stay. And he wanted to prove that, you know, the person was attached to doing the service and not to the position or the name or the fame or something like that. That was my only point. It's just, it's really easy to get attached to various things and places in this world. And even when we enter into devotional service, I can become attached. Prabhupada says that generally householders become attached to many things because they just accumulate and you even forget you're attached to them. You have so many things. He says even a sannyasi can become attached to the, you know, the kamandalu, the staff and a few little things. And so one has to be always carefully looking to see what is my purpose. Reinvent yourself every day. Start over every day. Start at the beginning. That's one of the reasons I love going out to distribute books and meet new people, is because when you meet somebody who is discovering Krishna consciousness for the first time, who's obviously been inspired by some kind of Sukriti that they've gotten along the way, they have a kind of excitement about beginning the process that enlivens us over and over again. It enlivens me. When I see it, I remember the first time I saw the Bhakti-guided magazine that came to my door because I was praying so hard, please show me the way, please show me the way. I just couldn't stop thinking and praying like that. And then the answer came so clearly. It's like, ta-da, here it is. And it was like, so it was like the, you know, the universe opened up and there were bands playing and it was just the most momentous occasion. And one could come into the process of devotional service and then do it by rote and forget, this is why I'm doing this. One has to remember the essence of what I'm doing. Service for service, and find that sincerity, that core of sincerity within in one's heart, the ore. That's the real ore, the real value. And don't become attached to some other little thing. That was my point. Yes. Mangal Artik.
Making a point of the cross that if the process of Krishna consciousness becomes this understanding that there's nothing here in the material world. And I think it's like, if we practice Krishna consciousness even for a little time and we drink Prabhupada's for some time, it's really easy to understand, it seems like, that, yeah, there is nothing, and then you take the process of Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, like, it feels like there is nothing, and at the same time, you're convinced about that, that there's nothing here, there's no doubt in your mind, you're convinced other people about it. But still, you haven't yet brought up place for Krishna or Lal Bhava or anything like that. You haven't brought up place for meeting or anything like that. So then, it's kind of like you're in a limbo, you have nothing here, but you don't have a place in search of it. So, how does one survive in this time without being, like, sometimes disillusioned or sometimes going like, when will I get this space? That kind of a feeling, like, I'm not, it's just like, nothing here.
A couple things. One is that you have to tolerate that situation of knowing what the goal is, being convinced of the goal, but not being able to fully discharge your duties in that way. In other words, there's an interim period that Krishna knows about because he describes it himself. And I quoted this verse the other day from the 11th canto, Jata Shada Makatasu Nirvina Sarva Karmasu Veda Dukat Nakam Kamams Parityagye Pyanishvara Tadoba Jetamam Prita Judarlur Shradarlur Judanishchaya Jushamanas Tatankamams Duko Darkams Tagarayan. So Krishna says to Uddhava that when one's faith, jata means to be born or awakened. Jata Shradho. The faith is awakened. Matkatasu, and one is very eager to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam because one knows that's where the real investment is. Nirvina Sarvakarmasu. So Sarvakarmasu means all material activities. Nirvina, he's disgusted with them. Veda Dukat Nakang Kamams means that he knows, Veda, he knows that all kaman or material desire leads to dukkha or unhappiness. Parityage Pyanishvara. So Parityage means to give it up. And Pyanishvara, Ishvara means the supreme controller, and it also means the power to do something. Parityage Pyanishvara means, but he doesn't have the power to do it yet. I still can't do it. Even though I'm disgusted with it, even though I know it leads to misery, and even though I know the goal of life is Krishna, I still can't do it. I don't have the power yet. Parityagye pyanishvara. Tato bhajeta mam prita. Such a person should go on with one's devotional service, whatever it is, because birds fly in the sky as high as they can. Tato bhajeta mam prita. Shradhalur jridhanishchaya. And with faith, go on worshipping me, Krishna says. Jushamanas tatankamam, duko darkans tagarayan, and means you should regret it. It's a kind of a medicine that you take, that you regret the fact that you can't do it, but you don't become morose because of it. You have to tolerate the fact that I've already taken the bad bargain, and now I have to eat it. In fact, that's in this verse, tate anukampam susumikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. This verse has very specific meaning. Tate anukampam susumikshamano. The devotee knows I'm in a bad situation because I put myself there. And the words, tate anukampam susumikshamano, he's always earnestly hoping for the Lord's special mercy and knows it'll come. That's one thing. He or she knows that will come at some point. It's coming. Has firm faith in that. And then, tate anukampam susumikshamana bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Vipakam, does that word sound familiar to you all? Did you read the fifth canto? Did you ever hear of Kumbhipaka? Vipakam, does it sound familiar? It's the word is related because it means Kumbhipaka is the place where people get cooked alive. People who cook live lobsters and things like that, then they get put in hell where they go, okay, now you try it. It's sensitivity training. And so Kumbhipaka, you get boiled in oil alive. And so you won't do it again. You develop this aversion to hurting other living entities. So Vipaka means, what it's saying in the verse is, you cook in your own juices. You made it. You ran the bathtub. You have to lie in it. That's what it means. You have to lie. You made. We say in America, in English, you know, it's your bed. You have to lie in it. You made your bed. You lie in it. So it's like you put that pot out there. You put all this stuff in it. Now that's your thing. You have to cook in your own juices, the stuff that you created yourself. And so, anyway. The devotee takes this attitude, I took a bad bargain, I have it. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada tells that there's this interim stage where although Krishna says, follow my instructions, and you have firm faith that just by following Krishna's instructions, you'll come to the perfect stage, but you can't quite do that fully yet. But you don't resent the fact that you can't do it. Because you have faith that by continuing, we'll get to that point. You'll attain perfection. And here's what Prabhupada says. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruit of action. They don't have any Shraddha. They can speculate about Krishna. They may even know Sanskrit and so many things, but they'll never get the perfection. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So a big shot is just a little shot who keeps on shooting. And that's the trick in Krishna consciousness. You just keep doing the most important things over and over again. And it's Krishna, it's Lord Chaitanya who promotes you. To be able to chant 16 rounds, you watch devotees who are sincere. They come to Krishna consciousness and they're doing one round. And then you keep inspiring them, you coach them, they're working hard, and then you come back and they're chanting 12 rounds, and they say, okay, I'm doing 16 rounds. How do you do that? How does anybody do that? There's not enough time, right? There's not enough time to chant 16 rounds. And it's impossible to follow four regulative principles, isn't it? She says it's easy. That means you're empowered. You can't do it without being empowered. You can't, it's grace. It's grace that descends. If someone's sincere and they try and they pray, then sooner or later, and sometimes it's later for some people and sooner for others, but that's up to Krishna's arrangement, that they'll get the power to be able to do that. And it's all based on faith and continuing the process of devotional service. Then one will come to that point. But in the interim, we should know that the only two people who are completely happy are the Paramahamsa and the complete fool. And everybody in between has to suffer. But that's a good thing. Going through this period, we shouldn't have false expectations also. In fact, there's one story about disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who came to him after about practicing devotional service for about 10 years. And they were saying, Guru Maharaj, you know, we don't have that higher taste from chanting. And he goes, oh, I'm so relieved. He said, because if you had come here and told me after just 10 little years that you had such a high taste for Krishna consciousness, I would have known that you were bogus. It's a big investment, and it doesn't come overnight. Okay? What verse was what? Oh, 331. Please. Yes.
We heard it in the Navamrita program, quote by Srila Prabhupada, I just waits for the rain to come. And before the rain comes, the lightning and the thunder.
Ah.
But she doesn't compromise or settle for regular water. She waits for the fresh water from the rain flower. But doesn't get the rain first. The lightning and the thunder comes first. But she
That's really nice. Really nice. That added a lot. Yeah, Shannon behind you. And then Satyabhama. How what? So ask me one specific question and I'll answer it.
How can we distinguish between them? What we have is it a material desire or is it a spiritual desire to progress spiritual consciousness?
Well, a spiritual desire is characterized by one's by the fact that it is meant to that is, it's aligned with what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. If it's aligned with the Shastra, for instance, just take the Bhagavad Gita. What are the things Krishna is saying? If the desires you're having have to do with advancing in spiritual life and so forth, then they're spiritual. Spiritual means that, I mean, there's material energy and there's spiritual energy. And the spiritual energy is higher and the material energy is lower. And desires for connection with spiritual energy are higher desires. They're spiritual desires. They don't have anything to do with the investment. It's where you're investing in material things or in spiritual things. So that's, you know, you have to see what is it you're after. If you want something that's going to tie you more to the material world, then it's a material desire. If your ultimate desire is to achieve Krishna, to become advanced. Actually, I heard something Radhanath Maharaj said recently that I thought was really powerful. He said that our goal isn't to become advanced devotees, our goal is to become servants of Krishna. But if it's in line with Bhagavad Gita, I mean, give an example. If you'd like, you can give an example. This desire, that desire. Well, that could be a spiritual desire. It depends on the motivation. So, you know, if you want to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, to please your spiritual master, to please Lord Chaitanya, these are spiritual desires. But if you want to do it because you'll become famous, because you'll be a rock and roll star, you know, that you have to distinguish. And this is actually, you know, Prabhupada mentions in this verse about the chemical process of extracting the gold from the stone. So there's a chemical process almost. It's scientific. You have to know how to look at these things. And part of our process of advancing a Krishna consciousness called anartha nivritti. So when we come to devotional service with faith, in the beginning it looks like there's one thing. I'm just fired up. I want to be Krishna conscious. And then all these other things start showing up. It's sort of like when you start cleaning your room, it looks like it's going to be an easy thing, but then lots of other issues come up. In fact, there's a lot more dirt than you thought. And then once you do get the floor clean, you think, I got to clean all the other horizontal surfaces. And once those are clean, you think, I really need new curtains because they look pretty drab now that the rest of the room is clean. And or with ghee, you take butter and you heat it up. This is one way to make ghee. You heat it up, and as it heats up, the impurities come out, and you take them off the top. And you got to do it over and over and over again until you just get clear ghee. In the beginning, it looks like one thing. I'm fired up. But then as you heat in the process, the impurities come out and you have to work at taking them off. It's a little work to cook. You have to be vigilant. And so anartanivritti, distinguishing between material desires and spiritual knowledge, is a very good question, actually. And in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a discussion of this. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings up how the metaphor that we're gardeners in spiritual life, and that when the seed of devotional service is planted in the heart, you have to protect it. When it sprouts up, it's very fragile. So you have to protect it. And one of the things you have to protect it from is other seeds that were already there or coming in more, coming in later. And they start to sprout also. And gardeners know that seed sprouts look very similar when they're young. And therefore, gardeners have to look very carefully and say, okay, you don't belong here. You're coming out. And you have to go through your garden and pull out these weeds. Otherwise, they take all the water and the nutrients from the soil, and they can actually choke out the creeper of devotional service. And then in that section, you'll find, you should read this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a long list, or actually Prabhupada's quoting his spiritual master verbatim in a purport, and he talks about the various kinds of anartas, or material desires that can crop up with the bhakti seed. And some of them are very subtle, you know, like doing business in order to improve my devotional service. And then one can become distracted, saying, I'm doing this. We've seen before, we're distributing books, and then someone comes along and says, I got some jewelry you can sell. This happened around 1972 or something. Later? Oh, 73. Must have been 73. Because book distribution was just starting. Prabhupada was really pushing it. And then some devotee got into this. There was a get-rich-quick scheme that involved this jewelry. And you could buy jewelry. I think you would assemble it, right, Nirkula? Okay. So anyway, there was this jewelry. And you get the jewelry. And then, you know, you'd buy low and sell high. And you get other people to sell. And next thing you know, you'd be a millionaire. And so devotees started thinking like, well, this is a good idea. It's better than selling books because, you know, selling books, I'm getting 25 cents, $5, $6. So why not sell jewelry? And we'll make $1 million and we'll just bring it in. And then, you know, we can give books away and do whatever we want. We'll buy a huge temple on the hill and like this. So then it spread like wildfire too. Everyone's like, are you selling jewelry? You didn't hear about it? Come on, let's do this. Next thing, Prabhupada's in Bhagavatam class saying, don't become a jeweler. He said, if you sell books, you'll become a devotee of Krishna. If you sell jewelry, you'll become a jeweler, he said. And he strongly cautioned against this. And all along the way, there's all these things that pop up and say, why don't you do this instead of that? So you have to have guidance, you know, someone to say, no, that's not good. Don't do that. Do this. And there's all kinds of what are called these little anartas that pop up as weeds. Kutinati, criticizing, fault-finding. Someone might justify it and say, I have to do this in order to save the movement. So they become a professional fault-finder. They go to a little, you know, there's a school you can go to, and they train you up how to see the worst in everybody and how to find fault with everything that anybody's doing in the institution, and that's what you do for your living. You set up a little blog and you can, you know, do this and you go into business as a fault finder. That's a weed. And so there's hundreds of them. And you have to become an expert gardener and figure out that's a material desire, that's a weed, that's not right. And so this requires what's called manana or self-introspection. You have to be able to with help from the shastra, from your guru, from sadhus who are very advanced, you know, take this guidance from people who say, okay, don't do this, do this. Vaishnavism means guidance. It means you have to take higher guidance. That's how you move forward. So, yeah. Satyabhama? Sorry, we're almost done.
Prabhu, thank you for a nice class. I had just like one question. You talk about reinventing yourself every day. So, when I was marking one on, but I realized that when you're reinventing, you reinvent based on your own internal
illusions of perceptions. How do you make that reinvention real as opposed to just, you know, using your own limited ideas about reinvention?
And one thing is that somebody told me about this a long time ago, and it helps me. So is that you find somebody who's an example to you. You see your ideal in them in devotional service, and then you ask yourself, what would such and such do in this circumstance? How would they do this? How would they conduct themselves this morning? How would they get ready for the morning program? How would they, you know, do their thing today? We need these. Everyone has, every living entity, every human being has some kind of a hero or a mentor figure in their life. And in devotional service, same thing. We have to have these examples that we're following that inspire us. So you can ask yourself, you know, what would such and such do? And your mind and your mental patterns are so used to taking you in a certain direction. And then you change it. You say, what? I'm going to follow what such and such does. That's why they're called acharyas, because they do achar. They do things in a certain way to show us an example. They act by example so we can follow them. Say, I'm following that person. That's who I follow. I can't do it perfectly, but whatever they do, I do. And I'm going to reinvent myself and become more like them. And if you hang on to advanced devotees whose achar, their activities in life are exemplary, and you just start following them. I just had this experience going around Govardhan Hill. One year I was there, I was going out, it was very dark and cold in the morning. I was tired because I was going every day. And I got out of the marg by myself, and I was saying, how am I going to do this today? And then I'm walking along sort of hapless in the night, in the early morning, thinking, you know, I'm so weak, I can't. And then this sadhu comes whipping past me in the dark. He was small, and his, you know, he was wrapped tight in his saffron, and I could feel the prana, the shakti go by when he passed me up. And he was like, you know, just, and there was something about him. And all of a sudden, I woke up, and I said, I'm following him. And every step he took, I took. Wherever he stepped, I took. Because I couldn't see in the dark anyway, and it's a little bit, you become a little tentative in walking along. So I said, I'm just following him. So every the same speed he went, whatever it is, I'm just, whatever he does, I do. I don't care where he goes, I'm following him. And suddenly I felt peace. I felt peace, and I also felt energy, because I got nothing to lose. It's all up to him. I'm following in his footsteps, literally. And I felt what it meant, you know, to follow in somebody's footsteps. If you can find somebody who's moving faster than you, who's got, you know, the thing that you want, and you say, I'm following them, then you can advance very quickly in devotional service. This is mentioned in the prayers the demigods give to Lord Krishna within the womb, that Swayambhu Jaksha Kila Satvadani Samadhi to Samadhi Nam Desha to Chaitasaike Mahatkritena. He says that if you follow the sadhus, if you follow those who are more advanced than you in devotional service, then you'll very easily cross over the ocean of material existence, because they make a boat that can cross the ocean. And if you even approach the boat, in other words, your intention is, I'm going to follow this person, the water in the ocean of material existence shrinks to the size of the water contained within the hoofprint of a calf. And then you can easily step over it by the power of following the Vaishnavas. That's why over and over again, the Shastra says, just follow the devotees. Vancha kalpatarubhascha kripasandabhe evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Gopremanande nit. Natcheri Armarman, Natcheri Armarman, Natcheri Armarman.